You are his children. You are his family. He loves you. Give him praise, everybody. Our Father.
I wish you can all hear her playing at her piano at home. This woman is so blessed, and the music just soars out. She plays from her heart and blesses the church, but I wish they could hear you on that piano. You're so beautiful. We just love the music. Hallelujah. It moves your spirit, and that's what music should do. How many know music is in your spirit, so it should move your spirit? That's why we have favorite songs. Let's stand up and pray together this morning, church. As we do each and every Sunday, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. And we're going to stay standing, and Gene's going to sing hymn number 299. I think you know this one.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
There you go.
Yeah, we're doing all four.
299, everybody sing.
Sweet land of liberty, Swell the breeze, and ring from all the trees, sweet freedom's song. Let mortal tongues awake, let all that breathe partake, let rocks thy silence break, the sound prolong. Our Father's God to thee, author of liberty, of thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King. Amen.
That's the way to do it. I told Joanne she should use her, get up and stand up and put her feet on the piano and sing. Not, eh? When I am weakest, he is strongest. That's the Bible. When I am weakest, he is strongest. That simply means when I finally get out of my own way and give up, God can do more. Because it's my doubt that gets in the way, and my fear gets in the way, my stress gets in the way. When I am weakest, when I finally just say, God, I got nothing left to fight with, then he can start the fight. He can start our battles. And Lejean loves, nothing formed against me shall prosper. I love that. You hang on. These are truths from God. Not from man, but from God. So whatever you're going through today, you first have to realize God is in control. For whatever reason we're going through what we're doing, God is in control to make us stronger, to make us see him more, to love him more, and to know that he cares about us. So you need to hang on. Sometimes you feel like there's nothing left to hang on to. Anybody ever been there? When you feel that way, God is holding you up. And if he's holding you up, you're in a good place. So just let God fill you this morning. Let the peace that surpasses understanding fill you this morning. Enjoy God this morning and let him carry you through the day, because he has an answer. And if you know that he has an answer, what are you worried about? Give him praise, church. Hallelujah. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. No king is saved by the multitude of any army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us just as we hope in you. The word mercy means love that passes around. His mercy, when we show mercy, God wants mercy. Anybody understand? God wants you to show love to other people and let that mercy, that forgiveness, that compassion pass to other people. That's greater than sacrifice. He loves sacrifice when we sacrifice from our heart, but he yearns for mercy. How many people know that he is showing us a lot of mercy through our lives and through the world? But he craves that we show other people that same mercy. And let me read that again. It's a beautiful line. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us just as we hope in you. I think that's the greatest. I want to get into this sermon, so let's just hear my prayer, O Lord, as we say, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Let it be so. as it is written. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let God fill you with peace this morning. I know you're going through things. We all do. We all have happiness and sadness, but we need to rejoice. We need to see God is in control. We need to give God praise for everything. We need to do that because there have been people in the past who, guess what? They didn't do it, Deacon Sergio. They didn't give him praise. In fact, they praised other people for what they had. They praised themselves and they praised the devil. Bernie, welcome home, brother. Good to see you. My Bible buddy's here. Hallelujah. They praised the devil. They gave glory to Baal. Anybody remember the word Baal? B-A-A-L. That's a biblical word for who? Satan. And they worshiped him. I told you I was going to talk about a prophet today. And he's called a minor prophet. Anybody know what minor prophet means? What's a minor prophet? It kind of reminds me, David, I met somebody recently that George and I knew. We met him and they said, we talked about, we're at Second Congregational in Derby. She said, oh, we belong to First Congregational in Milford. Does that mean we're above you? My people lack for lack of knowledge. No. Hosea is considered a minor prophet. So you say, oh, I don't have to read. It's simply, here's what it is. You got the book of Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah. Those are long books. Long books. Hosea's book's a little shorter. So because his book is simply his letter to us is a little shorter, he's considered a minor prophet. Does that mean his word is any less? No. Does that mean his lessons are any less? No. He just wrote a shorter letter. So you should like him better. 14 chapters in the book of Hosea. Hallelujah. The theme of the book is God loves for Israel in spite of their idolatry. God loved Israel in spite of their shortcomings. God loves us in spite of our... He loves us for that. In spite of that. Imagine that. Hosea, the prophet Hosea, is actually compared to John in the New Testament. How many have ever heard of John in the New Testament? God, I hope so. Well, this is rough crowd. Because God told Hosea to do something unthinkable. And Hosea said, yes, Father. God told Hosea to do something that most people would not even understand. He didn't question him. He didn't say, why me? He just did it. God knew that he could trust Hosea. Imagine that. Say that with me. God knew that he could trust Hosea. So I ask you this morning, can he trust you like that? He might not ask you to do what he asks, but he has to know that he can trust you with these things, these great and mighty things. Amen? So that's what he does. So he's compared to John. And the theme of the book of Hosea, the letter of the minor prophet, 14 chapters, Hosea. You can read it in a half hour, but I suggest you read it with a teaching Bible or another Bible to help you because it's so powerful. You can read it in a half hour. It's a mighty small book. The theme is sin, judgment, and forgiveness. Say that with me. Sin, judgment, and forgiveness. That's the book. That's the whole book, the whole story. He was told by God, instructed by God to marry a certain woman. An experience of life of sin. He wanted him to marry a harlot. He said, I want you to marry a sinful woman. A woman who known to not be faithful. Amen. You understand? He's telling him, this is the woman I want you to marry. She's not going to be faithful to you. She's never been faithful. She's a sinful woman, but I want you to marry her. Anybody ever wonder why he'd want that? Because he wanted Hosea to understand what God is going through with his people. God said, I am the bride. You are my bride. I am coming down for a bride. And I look around and I don't have a bride. My people are sinning. And he's looking down and seeing this. He's telling Hosea, I want you to understand what I'm going through. I want you to understand in your life what it's going to be like, how hard it's going to be for you, because she is not going to be faithful. And not only that, but he tells her, you must love her. You must love and take care of this woman who's not going to be faithful to you. How many times has God done that for us? Can I get an amen? Unfaithful. And Hosea 2:9, it says, God will remove all blessings. Everybody thinks God is a happy person. Sometimes God gets pretty upset, and sometimes he puts his foot down. Anybody ever had their father or mother put their foot down and say no? I bet you didn't like it much. But they probably had a good reason, especially for people like Dave. You know Dave out there with the Corvette and everything. Right? I'm just kidding, Dave. No, I'm not. And the theme of Hosea would be this: worship God for who he is and not be ruled by false gods. Because the book of Hosea is going to tell us that the Israelites started going to other places, other people, other kingdoms, and asking for favors and making deals with other kingdoms. Does that sound familiar? They were mingling with other religions and other people and asking for favors. And we're going to read about that. He's seeing that. God is seeing that. His people are doing that today. And the question would be, well, who's friends with who? If you're going to this enemy and to that enemy, and you're telling us, well, we're good, you just stick with us, we'll do this for you. And then you go tell it, well, you stick with us, we're doing this for you. Who's friends with who? Who's going to turn their back on who? Because you know it's going to happen. Can I have an amen? Yeah, the enemy of my friend is my friend. They're making deals with these other people that can't help them. Understand that this is what Israel is doing. They're making pacts and agreements with other nations who don't care about them. They think they do because they're making this deal. And all the time these other nations are making deals with other nations against Israel. Who should be surprised? Hallelujah. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. Can you say that with me? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. Now that you know a little bit about Hosea, what do you say we get into it? Everybody ready? I'm going to start in the beginning. When the Lord began to speak by Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, go take yourself a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry, for the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord. Exactly like I told you. God is telling him, my people have left me. You see it in the world today. You can see God looking down saying, my people have left me for false idols. They're believing other people. They're believing other things. Money is the root of all evil. Everybody wants something, and they don't want God. He's given three children, and I think it's really interesting that Hosea and his wife's name, by the way, is Gomer. I told Madison that the other day. I said, yes. I said, it's not the most beautiful name in the world history. I mean, if you name Gomer, but when I think of Gomer, I think of a TV show I used to watch and had nothing to do with anybody's wife. But his wife was Gomer. And they had three children. In Hebrew, and it's important that names mean something. The first child was Jezreel. And that simply means in Hebrew, God scatters. Their second child was Lo Rahama, which means no mercy. And the third child was Lo Ami, which means not my people. So he's given these three children these names to represent God and represent the people of Israel. Can I have an amen? Now it says right here in 2:6, therefore, behold, this is God saying now, I will hedge up your way with thorns and wall her in so that she cannot find her path. She will chase her lovers but not overtake them. Yes, she will seek them, but not find them. Then she will say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then it was better for me than now. For she did not know that I gave her grain, new wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. And who is Baal? Satan. So he's saying now, God is saying in Hosea 2, he's saying, I'm going to hedge them all up, and no matter what they do, it won't prosper, and they're going to be walled in, and they're going to finally realize that, hey, wait a minute, this isn't working out. This isn't good for me. How many people understand when you sin and you live a life, you say, finally one day you say, this isn't working for me. I want to turn back to God, because when I was with God, good things were happening in my life. This is what God is saying about Israel. I'm going to wall them in. I'm going to put them in a place where they have to look and say, this is not good. I need to find God. I need to go back to God. Doesn't that sound like what God would do for us? That's what he's saying. Hallelujah. Because they have done what? Because they made false idols to Baal. Lord. And then this is 2:23 now. We're on the second chapter. And it says, then I will sow her for myself in the earth. And listen to God now. These people are sinning beyond sinning. You can't make this up. but listen to our God. He said, I will have mercy on her who have not obtained mercy. I told you before what mercy is: love, compassion, forgiveness. God is saying, I will have compassion on her who had not obtained any compassion. Then I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people. And they shall say, you are my God. So right there in the second chapter, he's already saying something good. Amen. God is already starting to forgive. But it doesn't end there. Can I get an amen? I love this. It's getting better now. How many are with me? Chapter 3, then the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by a lover and is committing adultery, just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love it and raising cakes for the pagans. This is so powerful, children, because you see it today. Listen to what God said. He says to Hosea, go again, love a woman who is loved by a lover. In other words, she's out in the world with this guy, and she's committing adultery, just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel, who look to others, other people committing, our people, we are committing adultery. So I bought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver and 1 1/2 homers of barley. And I said to her, you shall stay with me many days, you shall not play with the harlot, you shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man, so too will I be toward you. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, without ephod and teraphim. An ephod's a very important garment that the Israelites wore. Afterwards, the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. Hallelujah. Here's what he's got to do now. He's got to go find his wife because she's out there running around. She's like us, the people away from God. So he has to go out and not only find her, but he has to pay for her again. He has to ransom her out away from the guy who had her and bring her back home to him because God ordered her, because he loved her, and he brings her back to him. This is his job, and he has to go, and he does what God asked him to do. How many do what God asks you to do? It's not easy, amen? But he brings him back, and then he says to her something very interesting when you read it. For 15 days, we're going to be apart. You're going to be over here, and I'm going to be over here. We're not going to talk. We're not going to have any kings. We're not going to have any celebration. We're not going to do any offerings. We're just going to be we're going to be in place of quiet. How many remember that sermon? When you're in a place of quiet, and when you have to get away from everything, you have to let God cleanse you. You have to repent. So they were in a day of repentance, 15 days. He's saying that this is going to be so we can be cleansed and be ready to worship God again. Understand how important that is. They had to be cleansed so that they could worship God. They repented. That's in the third chapter. Thank you, Lord. And then one of my favorite chapters is chapter 4. When you read this, and I hope you all go home and read it, because this is really good. I hope you do it with a teaching Bible. I hope you all have a teaching Bible, because it opens up so many doors for you. But in the fourth chapter, my favorite scripture said, my people, 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children. The more they increase, the more they sinned against me. I will charge their glory into shame. I will change their glory into shame. Listen to this and I'll explain it. They eat up the sins of my people. They set their heart on their iniquity. And it shall be like people like a priest. So I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their deeds. For they shall not eat but not have enough. They shall commit harlotry, but not increase, because they have ceased obeying the God, their God. He's saying that even the priests are enjoying it. You see, when you have many people sinning, and back in the Old Testament, you had to give an offering for sin. How many know that? When you committed sin, you had to bring an offering. And so when you brought an offering to the priest, the church increased in money. Everything increased, so all the offerings came. So the priests rejoiced in their sinning because it gave them more, Sergio. All of a sudden, they were getting all this, and they were happy that the people were sinning. But God said, I will take it all away from you. And whatever you have won't be enough. No matter how much you have, it will not satisfy you because you don't have the one thing you need. And what is that? God. Hallelujah. My people perish. are destroyed for lack of knowledge. How many understand what that means? When you don't have knowledge in God, when you don't know the Word of God, you can't tell people about God. You can't fight the devil off yourself when things come against you. If you don't have the knowledge, you can't stand and fight. And he said, my people perish. My God, the other day in the newspaper, I gave it to my daughter. I didn't bring it today. But there was a story in the New York Post about gambling. And I read this story and I gave it to Nikki and I said, hold this for me. I didn't bring it. But it's a story from bookies. You know, how many know what the bookies are? The professional people taking the money. And it says, the reason why people are losing money gambling, are you ready? Because they're not patient. They don't, lack of knowledge. It says it right in there. Because they have lack of knowledge for what they're betting on. I said, my God, this is, and they don't have the patience to learn. The people are losing money because of their lack of knowledge on what they're betting on. They said, you're betting with your heart. You're betting on your own opinion. How many remember that? Remember the Bible says, lean not on your own understanding. And the bookie was saying, they think they know everything about the game and they're betting on it because it's their opinion and they're losing money. And the bookies love it. They rejoice in the fact that people are betting with their heads and not even thinking about what they're doing. And even said one point, the guy said, well, some people have a favorite. They think they're going to win this game. And so they bet on that game, but they're not happy with just that. So they pick four or five other games. And Sergio, they win the one game that they had, but they lose the four or five other games. And guess what? They don't have any money. So now they're angry. Why are they angry? Greed. Because they saw, oh, maybe I should have not bet that. And just the opposite. Just the opposite. Sometimes, Walter, they don't bet on the one that they want. They pick four or five other ones, thinking these are easy. And the game they would have bet on, they won and they didn't play it, but they lost on the other four. So now they're upset at themselves. And see, the bookies are excited about people like that. People who are dealing in sin are excited about people who don't have any knowledge about what they're doing. And I said to Nikki, I said, look, this is Bible. This is right here. These people are preaching the Bible and they don't even know it. The bookies are saying, you got to have patience. You got to have knowledge. You got to read. You got to understand what you're betting on. You have to understand the numbers. And I said, there he's giving the whole thing about life. And he's talking about people who are willing to give up their money. Gambling. I just found that fascinating. I don't know if you did too, but I just... And it says, they eat up the sins of my people. They set their heart on their iniquity. Those are the priests. They eat up the sins of my people. They're rejoicing that the people are sinning. Hallelujah. How many see the world like this? Can you see the world like this? Here's chapter 6. Let me read this to you. These are the Israelites now. Listen to what they say, because you might be fooled. I want to listen. They say, come, let us return to the Lord. For he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. Let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. He is going forth. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter of former rain to the earth. Now, doesn't that sound beautiful? How many think that sounds beautiful? They're saying, let's return to God. Doesn't that sound good, Sergio? But here's the problem. They said it here, but they didn't say it here. They didn't mean a word of it. Because they were so low and down, they said, let's go back to God. But God sees it's false. God sees that there's no heart in it. He sees. How many remember where the Bible says, get away from me, I never knew you. When people say, Lord, we cast out demons and we told people about you. And he says, be away from me because I never knew you. Because they did it for their own gain. That's what Hosea is saying. These people did it for their own gain. They didn't do it for God. So these Israelites are thinking, well, we'll return to God because of all these wonderful things. Not because they love him, not because they want to be with him, not because they want to worship him. They want him because of all the wonderful things that he might do. Because. And this is, says, chapter 6, 4, it says, O Ephraim. By the way, Ephraim is the northern kingdom in Israel. Let me explain that just for a second. Israel is broken up into two kingdoms, Elaine. The northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The upper kingdom, the northern kingdom, it's called Ephraim. E-P-R-A-M. A-I-M, Ephraim. That means that there are ten tribes. The southern kingdom is Judah. And now Ephraim was sinning a lot more, but Judah was sinning just as much. But he's talking about the northern and southern kingdoms, how they divided because of disagreement and because of dissension. Hallelujah. I'll get into that sometime, but that's really interesting stuff. And God is saying, O Ephraim, what shall I do to you? O Judah, what shall I do to you? See, he mentions both. Can I have an amen? He said, for your faithfulness is like a morning cloud. Your faithfulness is like a morning cloud, and like the early dew, it goes away. Therefore, I have hewn them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and your judgments are like light that goes forth. And he says this beautiful scripture, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. God is telling them, I desire your mercy. I desire your compassion for one another and your forgiveness and your faithfulness more than I do you burning some offering like you're doing this, the little chore you have to do, like you're having a celebration, like you're having another celebration that they do in his honor, but they really don't. He said, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Hallelujah. And he says, this is beautiful. He said, when I would have healed Israel, when I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was uncovered, and the wickedness of Samaria. For they have committed fraud. A thief comes in, a band of robbers takes spoils outside. They do not consider in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness, nor their own deeds have surrounded them. They are before my face. They make a king glad with their wickedness and princes with their lies. Let me say that again. They make a king glad with their wickedness and princes with their lies. God is saying that our sinning helps other people be happy. When Christians fall short, it makes unbelievers be happy because they see a believer falling. It makes them less guilty. Understand what that means. These people who are sinning in Israel, these people sinning in the world, when they see some believer fall short, it makes them somehow feel better because they see somebody who's supposed to be a Christian falling short. Anybody see that? I know I see it many times. It makes them glad to see somebody fail who calls himself a Christian because it somehow lifts them up to a place where I didn't do what I did. They make a king glad with their wickedness and princes with their lips. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Ephraim, this is 7:11. Listen to this. Ephraim also is like a silly dove without sense. They call to Egypt. They go to Assyria. Wherever they go, I will spread my net on them. I will bring them down like birds of the air. I will chastise them according to what their congregation has heard. Woe to them, for they have fled from me. Destruction to them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. They did not cry out to me with their heart when they wailed upon their beds. They assembled together for grain and new wine. They rebel against me, though I discipline and strengthen their arms. Yet they devise evil against me. They return not to the Most High. They are like the treacherous bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword. For the cursings of their tongue, this shall be their derision in the land of Egypt. He is saying exactly what I've been telling you. These people are going to different places, different religions, different parts of the world that don't agree with them, that don't have any understanding with them, and they're making deals with them. They're taking food from them. They're giving them praise for what they have. They're taking of the spoils from them, actually thinking that they're making new friendships, and they're not making any new friendships. Can I get an amen? What they're doing is dealing with the devil, dealing with people who will come against them one way, the other, in the front and the back. They're doing it. Wherever they go, he said, I will spread out my net on them and bring them down like birds of the air. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. When Israel was a child, I loved them. That can be said here, brothers and sisters. When our nation was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed to the Baals and burned incense to carved images. I taught Ephraim to walk. He's saying, I taught Israel to walk. He's telling us today, church, hear him, please. I taught you how to walk, taking them by their arms. But they did not know that I healed them. I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love, and I was to them as those who take the yoke from their neck. I stooped and I fed them. Hallelujah. He's saying, this is so beautiful. This is what God did for them and doing for us. Let me read that again, because he's talking to you today. He's talking to us. He's talking to this nation today. When Israel was a child, I loved him. God bless America. We say that all the time. We sing that song all the time. We want a nation who is called by God. Hallelujah. We are that. He said, when we were a child, I loved them. And out of Egypt, I called my son. Out of bondage, he called us. This country was in bondage, 1775. He called us free. We were free because of God. He said, out of Egypt, I called my son. As they called me, as they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed to Baals and burned incense to carved images. We have fallen away from God. We have fallen away worshiping idols, worshiping celebrities, worshiping other people when we should be worshiping God. Morality is gone because we're not talking about God. We're seeing sin in the world because nobody's talking simply about God and his goodness and how good it is to be good and how kind it is to be kind. Nobody's talking about that. I taught Ephraim to walk. He taught you to walk. He taught me to walk. He taught Joanne to walk, taking them by their arms. But they did not know that I healed them. He's saying that you didn't even recognize it was me who lifted you up. It was me who healed you. Whatever you're going through today, you need to recognize God got you to this day. He will carry you on. He's saying they didn't even recognize me. They did not know that it was I who healed them. I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love. God is gentle to us. He's loving to us. He's forgiving to us. He loves us that way. No matter how bad you think it is, God is ready to forgive us and lift us higher. And I was to them as those who take the yoke from their neck. I stooped and I fed them. Hallelujah. This Hosea is a powerful book. It's really full of amazing things that are right now today happening in the world. People pulling away from God, not talking about God, not teaching God. Morality, all these things that we see, all these things that we're living through, nobody's talking about the goodness of God. This book teaches us about God. And the best chapter of the book of always, the best chapter always in the book is the last chapter, chapter 14. O Israel, return to your God. I will say, Second Congregational, I know you're with him. I know you love him. But I know we have difference. We have things we need from God, and we're praying from God, and we have problems. And I know that we struggle and we stress, and I know that we worry. He's saying, return to the Lord your God. For you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, Lord, take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. God is saying to us this morning, church, you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you. Return to the Lord. Say to God this morning, Lord, take away all iniquity. Receive us all graciously, for we will offer the sacrifice of our lips. We will praise him. I tell you, give him praise, give him praise, give him praise. You might think, why does he always do that? Because that's what we need to do. I'll say, give him praise, praise him, church, because the Bible tells us that we need to do it more. Every church should be doing it every Sunday, giving him praise. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? We should say that. The world should say that. I have heard and observed him. I am like a green cypress tree. Your fruit is found in me. And the last verse, who is wise? Let him understand these things. Who is prudent? Let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them. Let him understand these things, who is wise and prudent. Understand these words today. God loves you more than you can ever understand. He forgives you. His compassion is for you. His desire is that we all see Him that way, that we give Him the praise and the glory for all the good things. Every good thing in your life comes from God. Give Him the praise. Whatever gift you receive, whatever benefit you receive, whatever you might say lucky, it was nothing to do with luck. It was God blessing you with so many things. And if He has blessed you to today with so many things, He's got more for you. Keep your eye on God. Give Him that praise and love Him. Read this book of Hosea and see that God cares. Give Him praise.
This is my song, O God of all the nations, a song of peace for lands of far and mine. This is my home, the country where my heart is. Here are my hopes, my dreams, my holy shrine. But other hearts in other lands are beating with hopes and dreams as true, as high as mine. My country's skies are bluer than the ocean, and sunlight beams on clover leaf and pine. But other lands have sunlight too and clover, and skies are everywhere as blue as mine. Oh, hear my song, thou God of all the nations, a song of peace for their land and for
all the darkness you think is in the world, God's seen it before. He just said, repent, and I will forgive you. All the things in our lives that we see that are so crazy, God's ready to forgive. He's ready for His children. He loves His children. He loves us. This book of Hosea, this back in the Old Testament, is a story about today. No different than today. God is ready to forgive His people. He has been there for us every step of the way. He knows us better than anybody. He knows your spirit. He knows your heart. He knows who you are. So just trust Him and let Him heal you this morning. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. Give Him praise, church. That wasn't too crowded. It was trying to get through some of the 14 chapters, but if you want to go home and read Hosea, it's in a very powerful book, and read it with a teaching Bible. Read it with something that will help you to see along the way, because it really is amazing. And Hosea was truthful to God and honest and loved Him, and better yet, he was loyal to God. Hallelujah. And God is looking for those kind of people to serve Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're doing this in remembrance of what Jesus did for us on that cross. Brothers and sisters, this is what it's all about. This is our hope, our salvation, our peace, our joy comes from Jesus. He did this for us. And all He asked is that we do this in His church, in His house, in remembrance of Him. Hallelujah. And we shall. Thank you, Father. faithful servant Hosea, who did just as you asked him to do and wrote those words for us to read, to understand it, how much you love and mercy that you give. It's not traditions that get us saved. It's mercy. It's love that gets us saved. It's our hearts given to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank Him for every good thing in your life. Your family, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, thank Him for those beautiful gifts in life that were blessed by God. As we raise them up to be like God, be kind to one another. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you made it here today, you must have gone through some battles in your life. I can't imagine anybody here today who hasn't gone through anything. How many want to relive those things that you went through 10 years ago? Anybody want to relive anything you went through 15 years ago, 20 years ago? All those things you worried about, paying rent, all those things. God got you through them. He's saying, I got you through them. Look to me. Look up to me. Today I will get you through this too. This too shall pass. That's our God. And Jesus, once for all on that cross, for our salvation, all He asks is to do this in remembrance of Him, in Jesus' name. Forgive us this morning, Lord, for our iniquities. Help us, Lord, to see the ways, Lord. Help us to draw closer to you. Open doors, Lord, and we'll walk through them. Close doors, Lord, and we'll walk away from them. Walking with you, Lord, trusting in you. In Jesus' name, Lord, we do this. Forgive us, Father, as we receive the blood of Christ for our remission of our sins. Thank you, deacons. Thank you, Lord. My trust is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. My hope is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Thank you, Lord. My joy is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Oh, that He would heal all our lands today. That He would do something today that we can see His hand moving in our lives, in our homes, in our families, in our friends. We would see that joy. Thank you, Lord. We're praying for mighty things, Lord. We're believing for mighty things. Even in this church, Lord, we're believing for mighty things, Lord. Not little tiny things, Lord, but big things with you, Lord, that only you can do for us, Lord. We're calling on you and believing in your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And we'll stand on that rock praying. Walking in faith. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. His eye is on the sparrows, and I know He's watching me and you, me and you. He's watching us now. He's watching us in this house now, just giving His Son praise and remembrance of what Jesus did. The angels in heaven are watching us right now. They're with us today in this house, watching us give praise to Jesus for what He did on that cross, in Jesus' name. hands, Lord. Heal our homes. Show us the way, Lord. Open doors for us. Help us, Lord. We stand with questions, sometimes not knowing the answers, Lord, but you know the answers. Reveal them today, even today, Lord, that we can tell others about what you did for us and praise your name as a family. Give him praise, church.